In Daniel 7, there are five kingdoms that we meet, kingdoms on the earth, okay? And four kingdoms on the earth, one that comes from heaven, okay? You guys get to be the first kingdom. You are the king of Babylon, and you have your bubble staff. All right, now the reason you have a bubble staff is because these kingdoms are glorious for just a little bit, and then they what? Pop, and they're gone, okay? Now, in Daniel 7, the kingdom of Babylon looks like a lion with wings. Can you guys give me your best lion roar, just best roar? All right, now you guys pass your staff to some other family, and then they have to come up. All right, you guys sit down. Perini's come up. Good job. Let's give our Kingdom of Babylon a hand. Good, good. Andrew, come on up, man. Come on up. All right. Yeah. All right. You got your bubble staff. Now, you guys are the Kingdom of Media Persia, okay? You guys look like a big bear. You like bears? No.
They kill people.
That is right. Actually, oh, Mama Bear. Yeah, that's a pro. They didn't even know I was going to do this today. Mama Bear. And they do, actually, in Daniel 7, God tells Media Persia to arise and devour much flesh. So you're right. They do. They're pretty violent. Now, guess what, though? Okay, give me your best bear growl. All right, that's okay. That's all right. Ah, that's better. That's bear. That's good, good. All right, now, but guess what? Your staff is a bubble staff, too. And after a little while, what happens to this kingdom? Everybody say, pop. All right, you guys pick another family. All right, the Browns are coming up. Okay. Ooh, let's see. Oh no! Oh, you actually need a fourth. Can you like adopt someone into your family real quick? Oh, good, good, good. Because the reason you need a fourth is because you guys are the kingdom of Greece. All right, and you are a four-headed leper. Yeah, four-headed leopard. Leopard, yeah. A four-headed leopard. So you're swift and you're vicious. All right? You're fast and you're a killer, okay? All right. So did you know who was the king, who was the emperor of the kingdom of Greece? Do you know?
No.
His name was Alexander the Great, and he swept across the whole world and conquered the entire known world very fast. And by the time he was in his 30s, he had conquered the whole known world, and he wept because there was no one else to conquer. And then he died. And his power went to four generals. One, two, three, four. All right, we'll talk about more about that in a minute. But so his power got sort of separated into four generals, and then they led the kingdom of Greece for a little while because you also have a bubble staff. And what happens to the bubble staff? Everybody go one, two, three. Pop. All right. Now you guys have to pass yours on to someone else. You gotta pass it to. Oh, all right. The Diazes. Okay. What an honor. You guys get to be the final earthly kingdom here. Oh, yes. Now, the fourth kingdom, who knows what it is, was the kingdom of Rome. Kingdom of Rome, the Romans came and they conquered the Greeks, okay, and they reigned for a long time. And this one's a tricky one because when did the Roman Empire end? I don't know, really. It's kind of fuzzy on that. But you know what you're depicted as in Daniel 7? An indescribable beast. Can you do beast mode like this? Beast mode, Toby? Just beast mode. You're just beast mode. Okay, all right. So you're a beast. You're just a beast. Like there's no animal that describes this kingdom as Daniel sees it. You're just a beast. And you have 10 horns on your head. You know that? 10 horns. And then you have one horn that just kind of grows, and it's different than all the other horns. And it's kind of weird. It has eyes and a mouth, the horn does. Yeah, it does. It has eyes and a mouth. Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious. It has eyes and a mouth. It has eyes and a mouth. But eventually, guess what happens? What do you have there? Bubble staff? Bubble staff. And what happens with the bubble staff? One, two, three, pop. Now, this one is supposed to give way to an eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And so, we're going to get rid of the bubble staff because the next kingdom, it's going to last forever and ever. And it's not because of a staff. It's because of whose kingdom it is. Now you need to pick who's going to represent this one. You know what? No one can represent this one. I'm just kidding. This one is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Son of Man, the kingdom of the Ancient of Days. And so finally, all these earthly kingdoms are brought to an end, all these beastly kingdoms. And then the Ancient of Days, his kingdom is established and rules forever and ever and ever. Now, we have a video we're going to watch. Let's learn more about Daniel chapter 7.
In the first year that Belshazzar was the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. In the dream, Daniel saw a big windstorm on the sea. Four big creatures came up from the sea, each different from the others. Daniel had never seen animals like these before. The first creature was like a lion, but it had wings like an eagle. The second creature was like a bear. It had three ribs in its mouth. The third creature was like a leopard, but it had four wings on its back and four heads. The fourth creature was strong and scary. It had large teeth made of iron and destroyed everything in its path. This fourth creature had 10 horns. Then Daniel saw a place in heaven with thrones. God sat down on a throne to judge the creatures. His hair and clothing were white like snow, and his throne was like fire. God took away the creature's power. God allowed the first three creatures to live for a little while, but the creature with horns was killed. Suddenly, the Son of Man came. God gave him power to rule over everything. He was the king, and people of every nation and language served him. His kingdom would last forever. It would never be destroyed. Daniel was frightened by his dream. But God gave Daniel the ability to understand what the dreams meant. The four creatures were four kings who ruled on earth. Their rule would not last forever. God would give his people the kingdom forever and ever. Daniel did not tell anyone about this dream, but he wrote down everything he saw. Jesus is king over all things. God allows people to rule for a short time. But one day, Jesus will return and set up his perfect kingdom. Everyone who trusts in Jesus will be welcomed into his kingdom, and his kingdom will last forever.
All right, that's good news, huh? That's good news. Earthly kingdoms come and go just like bubbles. They look good for a little bit, and they pop. They're gone. And we long for the fullness of the kingdom of Christ. So we're going to spend just a little bit of time understanding a little bit more about Daniel 7, if you'll open there in your Bibles. We want to learn that from the dream that God showed Daniel that God's son will rule forever. That's what the kids are learning. That's what we're learning today. And as you study Daniel 7, we're not going to read the whole thing because it's a pretty long chapter. And we've already covered a lot of it with the video and the little Daniel Live up here. But I'll point out some verses. But this is a summary of what the chapter teaches. During a night vision about the beastly kingdoms of the earth, God showed Daniel that God's son will rule forever. If you break down the chapter, you'll see the setting of the vision, and then the details of the vision, and the interpretation of the vision, and then the effect the vision had on Daniel. Now, this is important when you're reading biblical prophecy, and kids, too. Because when you're reading about all these animals, you're like, what in the world? So a lot of times you have to keep reading, and the Bible will explain itself. It'll explain the imagery, either nearby or somewhere else in the Bible. It'll explain the imagery. So just remember that. That's very important. But here we get the interpretation right away. And we get other interpretations of it in other books. So the setting is the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. So at this point in the book, we're actually rewinding a bit because we're starting a new section in Daniel. And here we're getting into the visions of Daniel. Chapter 7 all the way through chapter 12, Daniel has many visions. Whereas up to this point, we're learning about the kings that he ministered among, their dreams and their visions, and the experiences he had as a Jewish man in these different kingdoms of Babylon and Persia. And he sees a dream while he's laying in bed. Anybody had a dream that scared them before? Anybody have a dream that was real scary? Anybody have one of those? And how many of you remember the dream? You remember it? I've had a couple dreams like that where I woke up in a sweat and was just really scared by what I saw. I don't know if they were dreams like Daniel's exactly, but they were dreams I still remember to this day. He wrote down his dream. And he communicated his account on the matter. And so, here's how it starts. As we look at verse 1. Verse 2. It says, Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The first thing we learn is that the stirring up of these kingdoms comes from heaven. So, there's no authority but the authority that God allows people to have. That's very important for us as we think about sovereignty. Who's in control of the world? It's God. There is no authority except the authority that comes from heaven, from the Ancient of Days. And so it's the Lord from heaven stirring up the great sea. Now the great sea here, it could be there was the great sea, the Mediterranean right there by Israel, but it could also be referring to the sea of humanity. And so he's stirring up the sea, and out of the sea, we see in verse 3, four great beasts come up out of the sea, different from one another. And so they come up out of the sea, and there's a picture of the lion with the wings, the eagle's wings, the bear with the ribs in his mouth. And he's got one paw up, and that's kind of interesting because this bear kingdom is made up of two kingdoms, actually, Media and Persia. And Persia was stronger than the Medes. And so that's some of the symbolism there. And then Greece up here. And then the big, nasty, ugly beast, the Roman Empire in the back. It's kind of scary back there. So the first beast, there's a description of him. And the lion is majestic and he rules. He has eagle's wings, so he's fast. The Babylonian kingdom swept across many nations quickly. Then his wings are plucked, and a lot of people think this refers earlier to Daniel, earlier in Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar is humbled. You guys have learned about this story where he eats grass. You guys remember that one? Where the king eats grass, and then he is restored for a little while. And so in 717, let's go there. Let's look at verse 17. This is important for each of the kingdoms, because this tells us, what are these animals? Verse 17 tells us, these four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. And so we know each of these animals represent a kingdom, and the first one was Babylon. Now the second one, was the bear. Powerful, ferocious, raised on one side. He had the command to do carnage all over the earth. He led a conquest against Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. He was told to arise and devour much flesh, just like Andrew told us. And this second kingdom is Medo-Persia. And Daniel lived during the, now this is important, Daniel lived during the days of Babylon, and he lived during the days of Medo-Persia. So the kingdoms now that get mentioned are still future from Daniel's time. Greece has not come on the scene yet. And so Daniel now, this is really cool, Daniel now is predicting the future, or God rather, is giving Daniel the future through his dream. What's going to happen next? The Greeks are going to come, and they're going to be stealthy and fast, and but the king who leads them, at some point, he's going to have to distribute his power to four others, and that's the reason for the four heads. And here are the four generals. There they are in history. Antipater, I never know how to say this one, Lysimachus, the Seleucids, and then the Ptolemies. And really, if you read on in Daniel, you'll read about the rivalry between the king of the north and the king of the south. This is talking about the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, their battle. And each of them sort of fought for possession of the promised land. And they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And this was the kingdom of Greece. And then lastly, this guy. Kind of looks like a hippo, right? Kind of? Like a hippo rhino? And this one's interesting because there's no animal that Daniel can find to describe this kingdom. He's trying to describe it as best he can in the dream, and he just leaves it at beast. He just leaves it at beast. And it's terrifying, it's dreadful, it's exceedingly strong. Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. You'll see it here. It says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, horn is usually a sign of strength or rule as well. Every time you see it, it's strength, it's rule. That's the idea. Government. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I told you, Barrett, it has eyes and a mouth. Right? Yeah, that's crazy. And eyes stand for being able to see, intelligence. And the mouth, it speaks blasphemies against God. And it has claws of bronze. We see this later. And then it's destroyed. Look at chapter 7, verse 11. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. Now this is the other horn, the little horn. So there's like this evolution of this beast. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. And so this, even this beast, as powerful as it is, it cannot stand against God. Its authority only comes by God allowing it to have authority, and even in its own pride, it too falls. Now, the interpretation of this one's a little harder. I'm just going to be straight with you. I have no idea what the horns and the little horns talking about. No clue. If you read in Revelation 12, 13, and 7, you see some interaction with this language. But if you study the history of the Roman Empire, there's the Roman Empire, and then there's when Constantine becomes emperor, he moves the capital from Rome to Constantinople, and that causes a big fuss in the world. Big, big fuss. He wants it to be the new Rome, and everybody else is like, I don't want it to be the new Rome. And he's like, I want it to be the new Rome. So he makes it the new Rome. There's fighting. There's back and forth. No one's happy. And so we kind of enter into what's called the Byzantine period there. And then after that, there's the Holy Roman Empire, which really wasn't holy and really wasn't an empire. And that starts with maybe for this before Charlemagne. Okay, Charlemagne starts that. And so it's confused. This one's kind of confusing. When does it end? It's hard to say. Does it end with the Reformation? Is it still possibly going to poke its head back up again? Lots of different opinions. I'm not going to go into that anymore because I don't know. But here's the timeline for when they each began. But the thing I think is so cool about Daniel's dream is that God gave him knowledge of things that had not happened yet. And this is what happens in biblical prophecy. God gives knowledge of things that have not happened. And it's so very cool that God knows the end from the beginning. That's our God. He's the Ancient of Days. That's a tricky one. Let's move on. Maybe. Okay, now the final kingdom. Let's talk about this one. This is the kingdom of Jesus. Look at verse 9. The scriptures say, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. And so the idea of the throne of God here is like a chariot throne. That's the idea. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment and the books were opened. So the Lord judges the kingdoms of the earth, the ones to whom he gives authority for a little while. He judges how they handled it. And then in verse 13, look there. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, this is important, with the clouds of heaven. Anyone who rides on the clouds of heaven is deity. This is God. There came one like a son of man. I believe this is Jesus. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him, see the Father, to the Son, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And then you read about it as well in verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints. That's those of us who believe in Christ. That's us. Saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So God, we see that the passing of the kingdom from Father to Son, he's given rule to reign. And it's received by the saints as well. We get to serve and participate in this kingdom of Christ. Now, Daniel's response to the vision, look at verse 28. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me or terrified me, and my color changed. He went pale, is the idea. And I kept the matter in my heart. This is the same word that is used of Mary when she ponders the things in her heart. So he's pondering them. He's received interpretation, but some of it is still just, wow, wow. There's all these effects on him. He's physically affected, emotionally affected, theologically affected. And let me tell you, studying this all week, I feel all those. I feel all those. So here's what I think the timeless truth is for today. Beastly kingdom settings provide opportunities to witness to Christ's everlasting kingdom. Whatever kingdom you find yourself in, whatever government, whatever empire you happen to find yourself in, your job is not about that empire per se. Your job is to be a representative of the kingdom of Christ in that empire, that day of rule, that bubble kingdom that will only last just a little while. You are to represent the Lord Christ as king in whatever empire, whatever season you find yourself living. And that's timeless. That was true when Egypt was an empire. It's true when Assyria was. It's always true. It's true in America. We are Americans, but we are Christians first. We follow the King Christ more than anyone else. And so what we want to do today, what do? We want to steward the Savior's stability, don't we? We want to be stewards of this stable kingdom. You know, people live in changing times, and they're always changing. But we know a stable rock of a king. Amen? He's a stable, he is unchanging, he is matchless, he is glorious, and he is always the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we want to be stable representing him. We want to testify to the stable Savior. And we want to do three things. First, we want to see the fading endurance of Earth's empires. Remember who's in control. Remember who's in control. God's in control. Reorganize your values because of this. Let your values be structured because of the fading endurance of earthly kingdoms. Let your values be kingdom values. Live for the kingdom. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Kingdom values. And we want to pop the proverbial bubble of national grandeur. Hey, anytime somebody's like, oh, such and such is so great, or such and such was so great, let me show you Christ. Let me tell you about an enduring kingdom that was everlasting, okay? Let me tell you about that. Second, we want to seek the welfare of the place you live. This was always an exile spiritual living principle. You want to seek the welfare of the people around you. You're a stranger here, but you want to seek the welfare of the empire, in a sense. Even Peter said, honor the emperor, which is like, whoa, because that emperor would kill him later. But we want to seek the welfare of the city, seek the welfare of the empire. By what? By revealing God to people, by redeeming civic and social positions. One of the things that impresses me about West Lisbon is so many of you serve in different volunteer capacities out in the community, be it school board or firemen or coaching, whatever. Redeem those positions for God's glory. You have an opportunity to be a witness and to seek the welfare of the people that God has given you a position for. Remember, you've been given some authority if you have some position. It's not yours, it's been given. You're to steward Christ's stability in that situation. And then thirdly, we want to proclaim that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Do you know him? Do you know him? And lastly, stay faithful to God. And I didn't mention this, but all these principles I got from studying Daniel's life. He sought the welfare of the city that he lived in. He knew that Persia and Babylon and these others, that they were not going to last. And then lastly, he stayed faithful to God. As he sought the welfare of the city, he remained faithful to God at the same time. And he remained loyal in the fires, literally. His friends did. And in the lion's den, he remained faithful to his God. So remain loyal when you face lions and fires. And bears, oh my. Remain a humble nation. Don't be proud. Be careful with this. Be a humble. Remember Nebuchadnezzar. When he got too proud, the Lord humbled him. We want to be a humble nation. A humble nation. And ponder prophecy, but recognize the limitation of your mind. Remember what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. Let's go there. We'll end with this. Acts chapter 1. It's good to ponder prophecy. It points our minds to the amazing things that God said he would do and then actually did. And then it also gives us hope as we look at the prophecy of the kingdom. But look at chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8. Actually, starting in verse 6. Don't forget this. It says, "So when they had come together, the disciples and Jesus, they asked Jesus, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" That is, when are you going to restore the physical kingdom of Israel? And he says to them what? "It's not for you to know times or seasons." There's some things you just aren't going to grasp about this. That the Father has fixed by his own authority. But here's what you can do. And church, this is what we want to focus on. Look at what you can do. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So locally, regionally, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We have the opportunity to be Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses of Christ, to witness to his kingdom, his coming kingdom that is stable and sure and certain. Now, if you read Daniel chapter 2 and you read Daniel chapter 7, you will find that those two prophecies are almost parallel, exactly. Four kingdoms, the coming of Christ, and setting up of the Ancient of Days kingdom. And it was very cool when I was reading about this. Why did God put the same vision basically twice in the same book? And here's one writer's thought. Because it's emphasizing the certainty. The double prophecy is emphasizing the certainty that of this material about the earthly kingdoms and the certainty of the coming of Christ's kingdom. And I thought that was good. Okay, let's pray. As our music team comes, we're going to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name" in just a moment. Father, I just want to thank you for your strength and your the certainty of your kingdom, the stability of your word, the stability of putting our hope in you and finding a place for anchor and rest. I want to thank you. Lord, help us to realize the fleeting kingdoms of our day, just as Daniel recognized. Help us to seek the welfare of our neighbors, because you've put us here and in positions to witness to you. And then, Father, help us to be faithful to the name of Christ, our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.